This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to encourage you guys to join us at Life Encounter. We've just seen so many lives transformed through it. Next week, Saturday, the afternoon is especially an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so this is for young believers and mature believers. This is for everybody. It really is something so special where we encounter more of God. Okay, so we are starting a new series today called Community. And for those who don't know, we structure our message series around the fivefold ministry. So over the last 2 months, it's been very apostolic. So we spoke about deliverance and healing and the kingdom of God tangibly coming in our midst. It's been awesome. The series before that was on evangelism, about reaching the people on God's heart, the gospel in all its glory. Second term, we spoke about the prophetic, the atmosphere of heaven, the presence of God. First term, we had a teaching series called the Understanding Our Times. And so we've been through four this year of the five. And my wife has been looking funny at me. Like, Liffy, where's the pastoral? Where's the relational focus? Where's the community focus? Where's the focus on our marriages and our relationships? And so I told over the last few weeks, just give me until after school of the supernatural, then I will start, then we tackle the pastoral. Okay, so this series, the next month or so, we're going to be speaking about the pastoral. And the way how I really psych myself up is that if you add the pastoral to the apostolic, it takes the apostolic next level. So that's where I get my going to my happy place. Hallelujah. Okay, so church. If you hear the word church, what goes through your mind? If we had to go all across the world and all across our country, and if we had to ask that question, like, what comes to mind when I say church? We're going to have a whole lot of different responses. Whole lot of different answers, because it's like, it depends on what you've experienced. A bunch of people will say, well, boring, dry. Oh, that 1 hour feels like five. You know, that's what some people might say. And then others might come to this church and say, "Ooh, it's a little bit wild. Flagging in the corner, people shouting, clapping hands. It's a little bit wild, maybe." But we all have different experiences, different contexts about church. And there's a move in the Western world, especially away from community and away from church. So some people would say, church, it's man's idea. You know, it never was God's idea, especially organizational church. You know, so people have opinions about that. And then I think the aspect that might be influencing more people than they realize is disappointments that people have experienced in a church context or with Christians. Somewhere down the line, something happened. Somebody said something. Somebody wasn't there. And it wounded the heart. And now down the line, you're not even aware of it, but you're just like anti-church. You don't know why that emotional, negative emotional thing rises up on the inside of you. It's like I saw on Facebook this week a lady that has been here with us at times, but at multiple different churches. As a famous Christian, American Christian, famous Christian's Facebook page, he posted something, and I saw, like, I know this name. So I saw her post on his Facebook as a comment just about how she despises church and Christians and how they do it. And she's like, I'll never have anything to do with church again. And I was like thinking, to be honest, if I would sit down with her and explain to her, I'd say to her, actually, the problem is not the church. The problem is that wound in your heart, that bitterness that's faced it. You're actually the problem. That negative, that bitterness on the inside. And that has become your filter. And you are blaming others when actually the problem is with you. And that happens to a lot of people. It's never them. It's always somebody else. It's those people. You know, those church people or Christians or whatever. And that's not necessarily for everybody, but for some, there could be an underlying disappointment, that something that's become the filter. And it's just like, church, don't want anything to do with it, you know. The church, it inhibits you. It is oppressive. It keeps you from connecting with Jesus, you know. It's better just to be on your own at home and then you connect with Jesus. Is that so? Is that how it's supposed to be? Well, we're going to look at this. So community. You can't have community without unity. You only have com. So if you want authentic community, we need unity. We need soft hearts, humble, soft hearts, connected and knitted together. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what do we need for authentic community. And we're going to look at divine partnerships. And I've got two awesome interviews laid up for you guys. We're going to interview some people up here. You're going to love it. It's so cool just to hear what God is doing in people's lives. Because ultimately, if you want to answer the question, why church? Then you need to hear stories of lives that have been changed. And then you discover, yes, I need church. Okay, so let's look at that, a few things here. So, Sonic and I, we love church. We love the church, especially we love this congregation more than any other congregation, but we love the church because we've seen how God has changed lives and we've seen how God has changed our lives. And we love church with all the flaws. Because if you think about it for a moment, is church perfect? No. I mean, it's like when I started out at church and like as a student in a church community, I was like, wow, these people are so holy. Wow, they're so righteous. And I'm not, you know, I just don't know. And then you get to know them. Then you realize, not so perfect. Then every now and again, I sit with people and they feel like, oh, but their lives are such a wreck and their lives are such a mess and the church, they're so perfect. And I'm like, I can tell you a few stories. No, church isn't perfect. It was never meant to be perfect. That's the beauty of church, is that an almighty God uses imperfect people to change lives. That brings glory to God. That brings glory to God. I mean, the same way if you look at your life, are you perfect? No, but Jesus loves you despite all your stuff. It's the same way with church. Imperfect people loved by an almighty God, and it's called grace. When God changes lives through imperfect people like you and me. And so I'm trusting we're going to discover again the beauty of church. So did you know that the church is also the body of Christ? The body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Okay, so imagine this for a moment. If, especially for the husbands in the house, you go to your wife and say, honey, I like your head. But the rest of you, not so much. Eish. We will schedule that memorial service so long. Because it's game over. But imagine that. Saying to someone, I like your head, don't like the rest. That's what Christians, that's what a lot of people do. I love Jesus, but your body. Don't like the rest of Jesus. Jesus, I don't like the rest of you so much. Oh, that's offensive, don't you think? Jesus calls the church his body. And the truth is, most of the blessings that you and I will experience in this life will not come straight from Jesus, from the head. It will come through his body. That's how it works. I'd say 90% of everything, every breakthrough, every miracle that you and I will experience will be through the body of Christ. Two believers who pray together. Someone that prayed for someone and the kingdom of God came. It's like this past weekend with the School of the Supernatural, one of the ladies, I've been just receiving email upon email. Someone's like, the email's going to be too long. Voice note after voice note of what God has done in people's lives, and it's been incredible. Actually, the biggest miracles that's been happening has been in the heart. I mean, bodies have been healed. People have been set free from incredible stuff. Marriages being healed. But the biggest thing I've picked up is just hearts have been touched by God. And you know, and over the last 2 months, we've just seen God move in such incredible ways on Sundays, in life groups, in encounters at the School of the Supernatural. It's like God, people have been encountering the living God. It's been epic. You know what sometimes breaks my heart? It's like, but where was the other people? Where were those who really needed that breakthrough, but they weren't there when Jesus moved? So that sometimes affects me, but I'm like, right, it's okay. Let the fires be lit in most of us, and then the rest are going to catch the fire. Okay, so if you weren't there, God's still going to touch you. If He's still going to restore and heal and impact you. So let's have that explore. The last six plus years, she has been struggling with extreme depression, extreme anxiety, hectic pulls. I can't function without it, and still with the pulls, like struggling. And so she came to the School of Supernatural on Saturday, and she was like, God, I need you. I need you to touch me. I'm going crazy. God, I need you. And she felt like Saturday night, God's going to do something beautiful. So a few people prayed for her. No change, no change. Then a third lady, somebody said, came to her, prayed over her, had a word of knowledge of what God revealing something in her life. Power of God came upon her. Had an encounter with the living God on the floor. And she got up set free. She got up healed. Isn't that awesome? Come on, give Jesus praise for that. But the breakthrough came through being present and then through another part of the body of Jesus. Amen. The blessings comes through the body. Most of the blessings comes through the body, not just by the way. So principle number one for an authentic community: value the church as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. If you want to bless me, say something nice about my bride. If you want to bless me, say something nice about my bride. If you want to freak me out, say something bad about my wife. I will freak because she's my bride. I passionately love her. So think about this. The church is Jesus' bride. Do you think He's going to be blessed? Excited if we speak badly about His church? Although the church has a lot of flaws and the church needs to be reformed. The church needs to become more like Jesus. But I'm like, the church is His bride. You want to bless Jesus? Speak life. Be excited. Be thankful. For His bride, for His church, for His body. You know, you want to bless His heart. And that's what I know when I was in Brazil. There's a large church ministering, and it was such incredible times in God's presence. I got onto stage. The Lord said to me, I felt the Lord speak in my heart, saying to me, Andre, make my bride beautiful. That's what Jesus said to me. And I'm like, Lord, I am in. Beautiful and powerful. Because it's through the church that the world will be changed. You see, the church is Jesus' plan A to change the world. There is no plan B. Come on, say, there's no plan B. Plan A is the church, you and I. And when the church becomes beautiful and powerful, lives are transformed. So we need to get back to this, value the church with all the flaws, with all the mistakes, with all the humanity involved. It is beautiful. You see, this connection, this horizontal connection will ultimately determine our vertical connection. Our horizontal connections in church community will ultimately determine our connection to Jesus. If we disconnect this way, you will ultimately disconnect that way as well. That is how God designed His bride, His church. Acts 2, verse 46. It says there, this is the early church, how they started off. Incredible things happened. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. So they worship in the temple, large meetings, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You see that first bit there? Together at the temple, how often? Each day they met together each day in big groups and in homes each day. These days is like once a month is a massive sacrifice. Oh, I probably need to go to church again. It's like been 3 months, you know. And then we get the sacrifice. No, it was like originally they were so excited, they were so on fire, they were so, God was moving in such powerful ways, they couldn't miss a daily meeting, sometimes twice, morning and evening, in big groups and in their homes. All the while, verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So they embraced a certain kind of community, an authentic community. They gathered. And they were knitted together as one. The result was an atmosphere where people could encounter Jesus. Every day people came to Christ. Every day lives were transformed because of the environment that was created. And that is what we are trusting the Lord for. Hallelujah. So interview number one. Trevor, my man, come join me. So Trevor is officially the most passionate usher I have seen on the planet. The man opens that door at the speed of light. And he's just so excited in serving. So Trevor, give us a bit of background. And hold the mic nice and close to your mouth when you speak. Share with us. Give us a bit of background.
Morning, Andrew. Morning, congregation. Well, I've been born and bred in East London all my life. I've known God all my life. I've just never walked with God and spoken to God. And coming to Shofar, my first encounter, I was so overwhelmed. And I remember I was sitting right in the back where the fire hydrant is there, trying not to be noticed. And I said to God, please come into my life. I need you. I've had destructive ways. I have still some destructive ways. And I asked God to speak to me because I hear everyone saying God spoke to me and God told me this and God told me to do this. And I said, God, please speak to me. You know, I want you to speak to me. One of those flags just started to wave there. And I was like, wow. And I actually sat down on my chair. I could not believe that God was speaking to me. And the flag was waving and I knew that's a sign, God speaking to me. Until everyone sat down and I noticed the woman that was waving the flag. But since then, I gave my life to God. I asked God to come into my life to heal my destructive ways, which He did, and still is. And yeah, I was so overwhelmed that the second appearance at church, I asked my son to come, and it has just bonded us so much. The church, Jesus in this church, has bonded us so much.
That's awesome.
We have a bond now that we've never ever had before, Andre.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, so you said to me that you were a bit of a dop and chop guy.
Yeah, I had demonic, I had a destructive ways, Andre, and I was for my son's life, from being born, he's turning 70 next month, I've been a dop and chop guy, you know, you go to a bra, I'm not sure some of you know about it, and you have a dop and a chop, and then you have four more dops, you know, and a couple of more dops are more dops than chops, and by the end of the night, you've had so much dop that the chop's still on the bra and it's black, you know, so... I woke up one Sunday, and before I came to service, I said to my son, I'm not going to drink anymore. It's not good for me. And my son said to me, yeah, Dad, yeah, we'll see. Well, on the 21st of this month, Mark, just over 5 months, 9 days, and I think 2 hours and 22 seconds, if I'm calculated, that I haven't touched drink and I'll never go back to it. And that's just one way that God's enriched my life.
Amen. Come on, give Jesus praise. That's awesome. You know, and that's the evidence of true salvation, is that there needs to be change. There needs to be change. You can't just add Jesus and go on as usual. When you add Jesus, he says, okay, right, let's change something. Let's change. That's bad for you. That's bad for you. That's bad for your relationship with your son. Let's change that. And so that's beautiful.
Can I just add, Andre, Jesus through the ministry in this church and your ministry is, there's no words. It's unbelievable. I mean, what other church do you know that Jesus talks to that even the birds come to listen to Andre's sermon? I mean, so that's how good it is. And, you know, I'm a country fan by nature. I've grown up with country all my life. My son's grown up with country. We love country music. So when we play pool at night or we play a game of darts or we're having a bra, we put some music on. And lately, since being a chauffeur, it's a fight of who's going to get to the TV first, whose Bluetooth can connect first, because he wants to play his Christian songs. And it's so nice for me. It's so touching for me to wake up in the morning. I get up about 20 past five and I hear my son singing in the shower and he's got this Christian music in the background and he's singing to. He knows all the words. And he often brags about how he knows the words better than I do. So it's like he's coming to church more than I am, but he just listens to it.
That is awesome. To see real change in one's life.
Absolutely.
Is amazing. And to see the change in your relationship with your son, that is beautiful. About life group, how has life group impacted you and helped you to reach others?
The life group, I would suggest anyone go to life group. The life group, you know, it's your spiritual family there. They're there to advise you, to assist you, to help you. I'm so connected with my group, unbelievably. I was trying to convert someone at work that's a non-believer. And they posed a question to me which I couldn't answer directly, and I didn't know how to answer it. So on one of the life group nights, I approached the group and I said to them, this is the question I have, you know, how do I deal with this? How do I answer it? And I got numerous different responses, which I took back to my colleague. And he actually sat and listened to me, and he was convinced. And he said to me, I never thought of it from that aspect. And you know, from him saying, you know, I don't believe in your Jesus, I don't believe in your Jesus, he says, seeing you, how you transformed and how my life's changing, and I'm a happy guy at work, I'm just prankster of note, they know me, I play around a lot. And he says, I want some of what you got. I said, well, come to chauffeur, you know, and not yet, I haven't convinced him yet, but at least he no longer believes that Jesus doesn't exist, put it that way.
That's awesome. And that ultimately also, you know, it needs to happen. Our lives should, people should see that there's a change.
Absolutely.
So Trevor shared with us the one time how he tried to reach his colleagues at work. And I thought it would be good for him to share it with us, because this is how you are not supposed to do it. Please share with us, Trevor.
Okay, as I said, at work I'm a bit of a prankster. So the guys that, you know, like, kind of mock me or... I'm always chauffeur this and write on their desk pads or whatever. So I targeted the four that I knew that needed targeting. And every Monday morning, they have their coffee, make their coffee in the kitchen, come forward onto the floor, and then they stand and they chat about the weekend. And, you know, talking in general. So one specific Monday morning, I got to work pretty early with 0.5 kg of salt, and I threw it in the sugar pot, and I mixed it around. And then I went and I waited for them to come. They all made the coffee. They came. And it was funny. I don't know if it was Jesus saying, I've got you on this, or that's how I felt. But they almost simultaneously, all four of them, took a sip of the coffee, and a big one. And they all spat it out at the same time. And they looked at me and they said, me, because I wasn't drinking coffee. Why are you not drinking coffee? I said, no, I just don't feel like it today. And I was like trying to say, no, it's not me. There's another guy that's a prankster team. And then one guy came from the back. He said, it's definitely Trevor. So they said, what do you mean? I had an A4 paper which I wrote on, come to chauffeur on Sunday. They don't have salt in their sugar.
Awesome. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Trevor. So that is probably how you should not do it. But I love the passion, brother. I love the passion. Beautiful. Okay, principle number three for an authentic community. Discover divine partnerships within the church community. You need to discover If we want to become an authentic, truly authentic community, if you want to experience all the blessings that God has for you, discover those divine partnerships. So 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. It says, coming to him, that's Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So Jesus is the living stone. He's the rock of all ages. And life flows forth from him. And so it says, coming to him. So we come to Jesus, to this life-giving rock, immovable rock. But then it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So you also, living stones, life-giving stones. As we connect to Jesus, we receive life and we become alive to release life to others. We become living stones and are being built up a spiritual house. You see, the church isn't a building, but the church is a spiritual building. Together, we create environments where God can show up. When we are united, when we love one another well, when we are humble, when we are hungry, when we're God, we desire you, and we desire to clean up our lives, we desire to live holy lives. God, we need you. Then we begin to connect to one another and we build a spiritual house as a life group, as Sunday services or our encounters. So living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So there's a picture of the Old Testament priesthood and the spiritual the sacrifices are made. Now we bring spiritual sacrifices through our praise, through our worship, through our investments in one another. We bring, and yes, it's a sacrifice to be part of community. It costs us something. So look at this next image about the bricks. So you and I are to find our place in the spiritual wall, in the spiritual building. So you would be one of those bricks, but you need to find your spot. And then who are you connected to? Who are those divine partnerships that you are connected to in your life group or when you're serving somewhere or, you know, in what ways are you connected? Because each of these living stones are connected to Jesus, but also connected to one another. So we are giving life blessings and we're receiving life and blessings. So are you connected? Are you connected in community? And then together we make up this beautiful, beautiful temple in the Spirit. And God is looking for a place where He can dwell. But it depends. Our horizontal connections will ultimately determine our vertical connection. The measure of God's presence in our midst depends on these horizontal connections. So divine partnerships. Here's a few examples of some divine partnerships. There are key persons that you need in your life to unlock growth. Key people. It's like the Lord says, I appoint leaders in the church, fivefold ministers, to equip the saints. You need that. You need somebody, a Christian leader or leaders that are appointed over the church so that you can grow. That is ultimately a divine partnership. To connect it with that would be like someone like Henk Kleinschmidt from a Flame Ministry. So the Lord said to me that we have a divine partnership. As we connect and as we agree and as we pray together and as we put our faith together, Flame Ministries will receive more grace and Shofar East London is going to receive more grace, more blessing. That is a divine partnership. Where are your divine partnerships within the body? Then secondly, we need key people to cover our weaknesses. As I've been sharing over the last few months, every Christian, and especially with fivefold ministers, but every believer has a massive Achilles heel, a massive area of weakness. Every one of us, that's how the kingdom has been designed. We desperately need another believer to cover our weaknesses. You need a divine partnership. So in my case, Sonica is more than just my wife. She is very strong, relationally minded, relationally empowered. And so she covers my weakness. Okay? So she's a key person in my life. In the same way, every one of us need a key person in our lives to cover our weaknesses. So if you're like super apostolic, like, yeah, kingdom come, let's do it, then you probably need a pastoral relational person in your life. Because you're going to just maybe, you know, that balances you out. And if you're extremely prophetic, you want to fly with the eagles, like, yes, then you probably need a teacher person in your life who say, let's anchor you in the word. Man, you're flying off page. You're flying off scripture. You are like, yes, let's anchor you in the word. And it's the same way every one of us need a key person to cover our weakness. Thirdly, we need opportunities to invest in others. Because you grow when you give of yourself. So where are those people in that, like that brick, those under your authority or somebody that you can invest in or the people next to you, those bricks on the side of you, where are those that you can invest in? You grow when you give. And then fourthly, you know, one of our values as a church is that everybody serves once a month on a Sunday. That makes serving sustainable. So we have some awesome guys starting up a parking ministry. I hope you saw some of them as you came in. Okay, some really great guys, so we can do the switch over from the one service to the other in a better way. Some awesome guys that are serving in that way. And when we serve, we feel part of family. Yeah, how does family work? You come, you sit at the table, you eat your steak, you have a good meal, and I'll go wash your plate. Come on, go wash your plate. You can't just, if you're part of the family, you can't come every week and just eat. You must go and help, eh? Clean up the plate, sort things out. So I want to encourage each one of us to get a spot to do something. Once a month on a Sunday, serve somewhere. You're going to feel part. You're finding your place and you're getting connected to one another. So I was listening to a guy, a business consultant in the U.S., a very influential business consultant. And he said he was with this guy from, he's the CEO of Chick-fil-A. Now, Chick-fil-A is one of the largest American fast food chains. Christian-owned, Christian family, and the CEO is, his name is Dan Cathy, and he's like $7 billion strong. So this business consultant says he was with this guy, and he says Dan's phone rings, and someone's speaking to him over the phone, and then he was like, well, who's that? I said, no, it was a teenager. I was like, what? What? Why? You know, and he explained to him, this CEO, $7 billion strong CEO, he takes Sunday school. He has a Sunday school class that he teaches every week or so forth. And these teenagers that he ministers to have his number. So this teenager phoned him and said, Dan, I need tickets for this ball game or something. And he's like, I'm going to see what I can organize for you. And I love that because it's like he's this multi-billion dollar guy, CEO, and he's like, I value the church, and I value serving in the church, and I value young people because Jesus loves them. You're never too big, you're never too wealthy, you're never too good to serve in the body of Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So the next verse says 1 Peter 2 verse 6. Maybe also just to add before I read that, but you can put it on so long. What I also feel the Lord is saying to me, and this is something we all need to be aware of. I feel the Lord has said to me, Andre, church should be uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. If you're sitting here on a Sunday and you're not being challenged, something's wrong. I had a good chuckle last week, Saturday night, when Sonica asked everybody, like, who has been challenged through Andre? And like everybody's hands went up. Like, yes. But I realize in our mission to reach people, we can also compromise God's word. It needs to be uncomfortable because there needs to be a sifting. There needs to be a pruning continuously that only the hungry should come to church. The hungry. Because then you're going to have a church on fire. But if you have lukewarm across the board, there will be no fire. Okay, so I'm just saying, we need to be challenged. We need to preach the word of God. We need to talk about sin. We need to talk about stuff so that it must challenge us, because we need to determine, are we going to adapt, align according to the word of God or not? And this verse speaks about this. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. That's Jesus. We all align according to Jesus. It is our love for Jesus that causes us to love one another. It is our love for Jesus that makes us gather. And then we align according to the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. We align according to His ways. Chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. And in verse 7, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. To those who are, in other words, some don't want to align themselves according to God's word. They want to live their own life and then add Jesus because they don't want to go to heaven. But they're not wanting to align. They're disobedient. And verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. They stumble over the word of God. So there was a man in his 30s, and he multiple suicide attempts, battling with drugs. His life is an absolute mess. Lost his job. Stole at work to actually commit suicide with what he stole. And oh, long story. So the one night, a few months ago, he's woken up in the middle of the night and he feels God says to him, contact Andre. Contact Andre. So he contacts me and we have a session. I pray with him, lead him to Jesus, pray with him for freedom from a bunch of stuff. And his response is, in the following few weeks, that he's never been as connected to God as since he connected with me and the church. So he was really on a good path. So he came to Freedom Encounter. And Freedom Encounter is about being set free from stuff, addictions and sins and whatever else. So we have these forms that you have to fill in on a Monday, on the Monday night. And so he filled in the form, and one of the things on the list highlights a specific kind of sin. And he was like, no, this is who I am. You can't judge me like this. I'm not going to give this up. No way. So he sent me next day. He sent me a letter. He's like finished with church. And he's like, you guys are judgmental. And I am going to another church where they will not judge me. So he went and found another church in town that is fine with sin. And I'm like, no. You're not offended with us. You're offended with Jesus. The rock of offense. Because you're not willing to realign your life according to His word. Now you're saying, but it's the church. It's not the church. We're ambassadors for Christ. We preach the word of God. We're going to give you the truth. And you have to decide, are you going to humble yourself and realign? Or are you going to be offended and blame people when actually you're offended with God? Now have a fight with God. Go ask Him why. Every promise and every word, every scripture in the Bible is for our benefit. Because a loving Father says, hey, if you disobey my word, it's going to be destructive. It's going to be painful. It's going to mess up your life. Okay, so we will not bow before societal pressure. We will stand according to the word of God and we will not be confused about it. Amen. If it's in the Bible, we're going to preach it. Doesn't matter how uncomfortable it might be. So Jesus is this rock of offense. Now, Luke 20 verse 18 speaks about this. And this highlights one of the most important keys to have real authentic community. Real unity. It says, whoever, Luke 20 verse 18, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. That stone is Jesus. Whoever falls upon the rock in humility. Whoever bows the knee and says, Jesus, you are God and I am not. I need to align my life with your word. If your word says it's wrong, it's wrong. God, I humble myself. I come humbly because you give grace to the humble. Lord, I fall upon the rock, Christ, and I realign my life according to your word. And you will be blessed. But it says, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. In other words, if we do not humble ourselves, if we do not realign ourselves, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, of pride, of arrogance, of selfishness, of jealousy, of whatever, if we don't allow the Lord to convict us and cut off those parts of the brick that are not of him. You know, he needs to cut off the edges, the excesses. He needs to cut it off. If we don't allow him to do that, the result is destruction. That's the path with this man that left. My heart broke. I tried multiple times to have meetings to chat to him, prayed for him, and he's just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't even want it to be exposed to what you say is the truth. I want nothing to do with it. Broke my heart. You know what's going to happen to him if he doesn't repent? The rock's going to fall on him. Absolute destruction. And I think this is one of the most difficult things when it comes to church, community. Are we going to align according to God's word? Are we going to allow the word to cut our hearts? Are we going to humble ourselves before him? Because if we do, we will build a beautiful, God is going to build a beautiful temple where the kingdom of God can come. So 1 Peter 2 verse 9, this is the good news. But you are a chosen generation. You have been chosen, called out of the world and into the will of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We are supposed to be different than the world. So I love it when Trevor says, man, I was convicted. I need to stop drinking because it's messing up my life. Now the Bible doesn't say you're not allowed to drink at all. You're allowed to have a drink. But if one drink leads to destruction, then one drink is too many. Then stop it. So I love it how the Holy Spirit worked in his heart. It's like, man, I need to change my life. And that's, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit to come and convict us and show us the way forward. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is beautiful. So the Lord wants to come and connect us. Right, so my second interview. Nicole, come. Join me here. Nicole is a passionate lady on fire for Jesus. And it's just awesome what God has done in her life. So Nicole, share with us a little bit what, give us some background, some context.
Basically, I've born and bred in East London all my life. I've been here. God sent me an amazing, wonderful husband, and we've been married for 20 years. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen.
And he's blessed me with two beautiful children, Taylor, that's 16, and Brad, that's 12. And also, God led Taylor to the Lord last week, Sunday. She gave her life to the Lord, and it's just,
amen.
That was a big, big, big blessing. And
praise,
we've been waiting
God
for that for a long time. And
amen.
Oh, yeah,
that's what we want to see. That's awesome. I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see our children follow Jesus, have an encounter with Christ. That is beautiful. So what has God been doing in you and, you know, over the last year?
Well,
when you guys joined beginning last year,
yeah,
you started to come.
Yeah, it was end of January, beginning of February of 2020, and we came a few times, and then lockdown hit. And like, whoa, we couldn't come to church, but those few Sundays that we did come, there was like four or five, oh, it was just incredible. The Holy Spirit just touched our lives, and we just felt we wanted more and more of God. Just being here, just feel his presence. And we've just never felt that anywhere else. And so we've had to do the online sermons and that. But fortunately, it just wasn't the same. Just being here in his presence, and just the anointing is just so incredible. And just, it's amazing. And just the community of people here, it's just amazing.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's just all the Freedom Encounter course. I did it last year of November, and it was so funny. Neil and I mean, we just like come back to church sort of thing, and every time there was a booking, there's only like 50 people, and Neil and I said, quickly go book. We need to get in so we can get a place just to hear God's word. And then the Freedom Encounter 4 came up, and Neil and I said, oh, let's just do it. We didn't know what it was about. And oof, it was just like, God just worked wonders in my life. I got anointed twice. And I mean, Andre just saw God was just really, really working in my life and just breaking free, getting rid of all, you know, that's been bottled up over the years, and just the grudges and the resentments and whatever it is. And also all the time I've been praying and whatever, and then you'll mention something or somebody that's up here giving the service to say they've got something, maybe anxiety or whatever. I'm thinking, oh, that's me. And I would just step out and just walk up and just say, okay, God, just, you know, I'm here. And it just got bad at one point that every Sunday I'm just coming up. And I'm like, no, Lord, I can't do this anymore. It's like, what are these people going to think? Like, gosh, it's really bad, whatever. But I couldn't care. I've been obedient to God. And I've just come up. And I can just see Him peeling my life and just working in my life. And He's equipping me to go and do His work in and around wherever He's sending me. It's just been an incredible. And then the School of Supernatural Healing last weekend. That was just awesome. Actually epic. And just how He worked with me as well. And I just came with that feeling that God's going to use me and I'm going to run with it. Just whatever He wants me to do, I'm being obedient and listening to His voice. And I just feel some people say, right, how do you recognize God's voice? And even my little boy, Brad, asked me, he says, Mommy, how do you know when God's talking to you? And I said, boy, it's not a physical audio that God's like talking like me and you. It's just you get this inner strong feeling in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. And you just know God's talking to you because He's just got you. And so many times that I've just stepped out, and with me stepping out, He's just working in my life more and more, and it's becoming easier to recognize how He speaks to me, what He's doing in my life, and I just love it. And I just, God is my all. Just,
that is awesome. I love what I see in you. I see it's just such a childlike hunger for God. As I'm, you know, it's like she comes hungry, she responds an altar call, she goes wherever, but she's like, Lord, touch me, have Your way in me, you know. And I love that. And God's going to meet you when you do that. So that is awesome. Okay, and so how have you been equipped now? Because you've told me some awesome stories of what has been happening at work and how it's been overflowing, what God's been doing in you has been overflowing into your work environment.
Okay, so basically also being work in a corporate environment, which is very, very difficult because people are so structured and so there's not many believers. But I know God has brought me there for a reason, and that reason is to spread His word and touch love and save lives, because there's a lot of unsaved lives there. And it's just, anyway, there was one colleague, which she was actually only just there for about 4 months. But I know why God sent her there, to tell me about Shofar, because she had such a spirit, and I just loved the way she was on fire for God too. And I said to her, what church did you go to? So she said, Shofar. I'm like, yeah, we've got to try this, and which we have. And now I can just see how God is equipping me. And I'm just started praying for people at work. I think I've prayed for over 40 people. And like the word gets out, like, oh, go to Nicole. She'll pray. I mean, I've even prayed for one lady's dog that was run over and he hurt his neck. And they actually might have had to put him down. But I just said, come, let's just pray. And the dog actually got healed. And she was like, whoa. And then I had another lady go, my dog's also sick. Please pray. I said, okay, come. We'll pray. And I know God's working with me, but after this school of supernatural healing, God just equipped me more. For when I went to work on that Monday, well, I was on fire for God. I said, God, now You've got to use me. I've got to heal people. And He was just revealing and just saying, Nicole, you need to pray for this one. And some were like, oh, I can't do this. I said, okay, God, I'm going to step out. You've got to have Your way with them, and You've got to heal them. You've got to show them Your glory. And I was just praying for one, and then the one lady came to me, and she says, she popped into my office, she says, Nicole, have you got any Norflex tablets? I'm like, what's that? No, it's for back pain. So I said, no, I don't have. So she says, I said, and then God just laid on my heart, pray for her back. I said, right, come, we're going to go pray for you. So I took her into my boss's office, he wasn't there, and I just closed the door, and I could just feel God, and I just prayed, put my hand on her back, and then God just said, raise your hand. And I just raised my hand, and I could just feel this warmth going right through me, this tingling, and I could just feel it working in her life. And then after I finished praying, she actually swore. She was like, so couldn't believe. She says, oh my word, what did you just do to me? I said, no, I didn't do anything to you. God has healed you. She says, oh my word. And then she starts sweating. Her hands were sweating, and I just hugged, and I could just feel the sweat. And God is just, I can see He's just working in her life.
Awesome.
The next day, she comes to my office again. She says, my back's been healed. She said, Nicole, you don't understand what pain I had. Since 2 years ago, I gave birth to my daughter. And I've just had incredible pain in my hips, my back. It's just been sore. And every day, like, she would go get coffee. She would have to stand on the counter and while waiting for her coffee to try and ease the pain. And she said, Nicole, today was the first day I had no pain.
Amen.
All God to glory. And I just want to say thank you.
Amen.
God's just working wonders. And I know I'm going to be, and like, also another thing is, as I'm praying for people, I'm putting messages on my family group with Neil and Taylor and Brad, like, okay, number 4, number 7, number 9. I'm just praying for people like this. And God's just pointing people in my direction who I need to pray for. And I'm being obedient. I'm praying. And then also later on, I had to go get keys for my boss, whatever. So I went with somebody else to go get keys. And as I walked past our coffee shop, there was a young teenage girl standing at the counter. And God just laid on my heart to say, God loves you. So I said, okay, well, I went and I got the keys. And as I walked past, I said, right, I've got to do this. So I turned to her and I said, God loves you. Well, immediately she went, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was like just so happy, so overwhelmed. So I thought, okay, well, maybe she didn't know what I said. So I said, God loves you. Well, she then shouted to her parents, which I didn't know, her parents were sitting there, and I walked on. And as I walked on, they stood up and started clapping at me, as almost to say they were waiting for an answer from God. And just by me saying to her, God loves you, that
Amen.
Gave them their answer. And I'll never know what it was about, but God knows and they know that something definitely happened there. And I want to be obedient to God. I'm listening to Him. I'm stepping out in faith. And it can get hard, but God's got me. And I know that I'm going to run with this and just, oh God, to glory.
Beautiful. Come on, give her a hand. Thank you. That is awesome. But what I pick up with Nicole is that she, in the way that she's responded to church community, she came here without, you know, like a reservedness in terms of being careful. She was like, I'm coming for Jesus. I'm going to respond on everything. I'm going to get prayer, and I'm going to take what the Lord wants to pour into me, and I'm going to take it out. And I love that. You know, that childlike passion. So the Lord wants to light the fire in us. Okay, so principle number 4, ending off with this, embrace the 3 cornerstones to our community. If we want real unity, I mean authentic community, then the DNA, okay, so it's the divine, we build our community around these 3 principles: the divine presence, or the divine truth that leads us into the divine presence, the nurturing relationships, and apostolic mission. And we have 3 key environments for these 3, building out these 3 values. So if you want to be in complete unity with the rest of the body, if you want to find your spot in that brick, finding that living stone, finding its pot, you need to embrace all 3. So the D, the divine presence, the divine word, this is Sundays. On Sundays when we worship together and you receive the word of the Lord, that is building up primarily the D, divine presence. Okay? Secondly, that's fine. You can put that on, that's fine. So the second area is life groups. If you want to build nurturing, if you want to nurture relationships in the life groups, that's where that is happening. Okay, this is critical. This is like non-negotiable. If you want to be in unity with the rest of the church body, join a life group. And then thirdly, apostolic mission. That is our mission and passion to facilitate God encounters for people. That happens at our encounters, schools of the supernatural, and future conferences. We're going to do more like we did this past weekend. We're trusting for more healing weekends and supernatural conferences we're going to do. And obviously missions as well when you go out. But for me, so to summarize, why church community? 6 things. I want to quickly just mention it. You can put it on. Why church? Because you are the church. You are the church, not a building. Secondly, God's idea, not people's idea. It's always been plan A. Thirdly, a tool to bring salvation to people. Most of us were probably impacted by a church community to come to Jesus. That's how it works. And number four, it's simply better with friends. So we had pastors here for 2-3 month stints. Pastors from other congregations, as you guys, most of you would know. Interesting enough that both of the men said to us, their highlight above almost any other thing they experienced at our church was to join our elders' meetings. Because where they came from, the elders were divided. Elders' meetings were conflict. It was not fun. They did not look forward to it. Now they come to our elders' meeting, and it's friends, and it's unity. I want to honor our elders in the church, those five guys, Rion and Alan and Dion and JP, Jean-Pierre and Stephen. And we are so united. We've been through stuff together. We have cried together. We have been there when they have struggled, and they've been there for us when we have struggled. We have bonded. These guys are incredible. They're my friends. We love them. And unity begins at the top. And so the guys told me, you know, that it was just amazing. They came to the elders meeting, and it was amazing to see the unity, the friendship, the transparency, the humility, the freedom, and then a relatively short meeting time, and then we would worship and pray, and just it was like God would show up. Incredible unity. Incredible unity. Friendship. Okay, so I want to just highlight that. Church becomes epic when it's friendship. And if you want it to be friendship, you need to keep on coming. You need to get into a life group. You need to serve somewhere so that you can engage with others. Then it becomes beautiful. And then fithly, God's way brings church is God's way to bring transformation. And it's God's way to equip us to reach others, as you've just heard the story. Amen. Okay, please stand with me. The worship team can join me on stage. But I wanted you to hear some stories, and they are just a fraction of the many, many stories of what God has been doing in this church community. And so what if you and I could create environments of incredible unity? It's like our Ignite team, our prayer team. There's such unity amongst our guys that pray. That's just phenomenal. And then we have, I can just mention, and then the worship team. I mean, the worship team is more than just they worshiping on Sundays. They're family. They've bonded. You know, second service, they sit in the foyer and they talk and they connect, and they have a time of just connecting to one another. And it's like family, eh? It's family. A big smile. Yeah, I pay him a lot for that smile. Extra coffee for you with that big smile. But then it's no longer work. It's, hey, I'm going to be with my friends. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you might be on that journey, get involved. Join a life group. If you're not yet a member of the church and you feel God's leading you here, get planted. Join us at Encounter 1 and Encounter 2. Next week, Saturday, and then the following week, the Monday evening. Become officially part of the family. You will not be disappointed. Church is epic. When it works, it's sad when it doesn't work. But it's beautiful when it works. Come on, say, church is epic. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.